Aleph. One. One. Died the sinner's death on our behalf, descending into the earth, and were raised up by the might of God, and are at the right hand of the Father. We're coming again, Lord, we know that that is all. Someday faith will be exciting, Lord. We know that's not that far away. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we have another night, another day to learn, to grow, to prove our love to you, Lord. Wonderful that you have given us this opportunity, Lord, to grow. Praise you. Lord, we pray this night you'll forgive us our many sins. As we forgive those who sin against us, really, Lord, we just forgive everyone. Hallelujah, we're so glad, Lord, that you have mercy for us, Lord, and we do show mercy to all people, Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. We pray you'll anoint the word tonight, Lord, give us that which each one needs to hear, that the Holy Spirit will do the work that needs to be done tonight, Lord. We lift up your name. We can't do anything of ourselves, but we just lift up your name. Lift up your name. You do the job. You do talk. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, come Revelation. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together in the King James. Revelation chapter 21, we'll read verses 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. That is kind of a continued story. Now, to place this, we draw a line. We'll say this is the return of the Lord, the setting up of his kingdom, for what the scripture calls a thousand years, the millennium. Whether it's a literal 1,000 years or this is symbolic, we'll know when we get there. And then, at this point, the earth as we know it and the heavens as we know them will vanish. This, when the Lord comes, will start the kingdom age. And it will be on this earth. I think the surprise of the kingdom age to us will be that things are not so different. They're not as different as we think they're going to be. It will be on this age, probably on this earth, probably 1,000 years. And I imagine that business will go on pretty much as usual. The difference is that the devil will be bound. Praise the Lord. Imagine a world that's so near to come in which Satan will be bound and Christ and his overcoming, his conquering saints will be ruling. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign. A very real time. How soon we are in here at 1980, we can't tell. Usually when people say he's coming, you know, such and such a date, they're wrong. But I think all of us have the feeling, don't we, that the Lord's coming is not very far away. As we see the scripture coming to pass, Israel becoming a nation, the world becoming lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, more so than any time in history. I don't think that those in here that have studied history, there's ever been a time when the world, per se, has been given so much to the rights of people and to the love of pleasure, as is true today. So the things that Jesus said 2,000 years ago have come to pass accurately. Of all the philosophers and scholars and utopian dreamers that have lived in the last 2,500 years will say Jesus is the one who predicted accurately what was going to happen. And the famines, the wars, the rumors of wars, men's hearts failing them for fear, the seas and the waves roaring, and so on, just exactly as Jesus said, he's the one that told it like it has happened. 2,000 years ago, Jesus predicted history up to our time. But the Bible goes on beyond our time, past this 1,000-year period, which will begin when Jesus returns, and you and I will be here on this earth with the Lord if we're overcomers. If we're not overcomers, I'm not sure at this point where we will be. I'm not clear on that, but the Lord has impressed my mind much that to reign with him is for the overcomer. The Bible says that, and that is something worth seeking for. Praise the Lord. I guess if I have a burden on my heart tonight, And as I prayed coming down, the burden on my heart is that we Christians realize that there's more to salvation than just being saved. In other words, it isn't a case of just accepting the Lord, and that's all there is to it. What you reap when the Lord comes will depend on how you live. And the rewards are great, very great. So much is held out before us. It's worth your while and mine to give everything we have to the Lord. Oh, I don't know. I hope God tonight gives me the Spirit and the Word to show you some of the things that are at stake here. Now, where we're reading here in Revelation is the coming down from God. God takes away, whether it's by a nuclear explosion or whatever it is, God at this point recalls unto Himself the universe, the heavens and the earth that we know. They are gone. The Scripture says you will fold them up and they'll be done away like a used garment. And I can picture the people in heaven, the church, and those when the Lord does this and all the created realm vanishes. I think what will happen will be that the Lord Jesus, you know, He's more powerful, saints, than we understand. The Lord is more powerful than we understand. He is not like a 6-foot man who is just extra smart or extra godly. Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. He isn't the Father. Don't misunderstand me. But He is the image of the invisible God. He is so great. Now you picture, now we've all studied science enough to have some vague notion of the scope of the universe. And Christ in that day will just recall it all into Himself. Picture that. Picture that. Hallelujah. Now all the personalities that the Lord has formed, particularly the saints and all, I believe that the Lord will just cast on us some kind of will just for a brief season perhaps be unconscious, I don't know. And the Lord at that time will just withdraw everything into Himself. He'll just breathe out again. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And then we will be able to see it and marvel at the handiwork of the Lord. I believe that's the way it's going to be. Christ is just that great. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And so we don't know Him yet to any great extent. We picture Him as a man, and we know that He has saved us. But He is the Son of God, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. We're going to be ruling with Him if we are overcomers, as I said, if we meet His qualifications. In Revelation, the 2nd and the 3rd chapter, we will rule with Him during the 1,000-year period that is coming. But I felt tonight that we could maybe look just a little bit at what Revelation 21 says. There will appear from God out of heaven, from God, a new heaven and a new earth. So we're looking here in Revelation 21 at the way off yet. But I think it's good for us sometimes to have a kind of a clearer view maybe than we have of where we're heading and why we're doing what we're doing. Why it's worth the struggle and the race and to turn away from the world and to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. Why it's worth it. Because this is what is going to come to pass in the future. Praise the Lord. We don't know what will happen tomorrow in America, but this we know will come to pass. Revelation 21, the first verse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I pondered on that and why there will be no more sea when God creates the new heaven and the new earth. One thing is the sea. In the Scripture, represents the wicked. It represents the mass of people as they're just driven and tossed, like we hear on the television and the radio, and mankind is just swept back and forth. It's just an undifferentiated mass. You read about Cambodia, and they'll say 1,000 people or 10,000 people starved to death. You can't even comprehend such a thing. It's like the waves of the sea. It's just an undifferentiated mass of humanity, just groaning and coming up in famine and dying. I believe that's probably locked into here somehow. God, when we get to this point, Every creature will be differentiated. Everything will be clear and meaningful. There'll be no more 1,000 people or 10,000 people doing this or that. It will be individual people known unto God, everyone precious in the sight of the Lord. But probably, as the Bible says, there'll be no more sea, there'll be no more sea. We know the world today is founded on the seas and established on the flood, Psalm 24:1. But that means that it is unstable. And the patriarchs were looking for a city that has foundations, which is Christ Jesus. And so perhaps there's some of that in here too. There will be no more instability. There will be no more wickedness in the earth. Hallelujah. And there will be no more instability. Christ will be the foundation of the world that is coming. This is what we are building for. This is what we are, the first fruits, and that God is moving in our lives. And I, John, saw the holy city. Notice this very carefully now. The holy city. The city that God's attention is on is holy. What do we have today that is holy? What do we have today that is holy? The Bible, the Holy Bible. But we have the Spirit of God, don't we? We have the Spirit of this city today. The Spirit that governs this city, that has created this city, is in the church today. Whatever the Spirit of God is, and all the things in which we know Him, in tongues and prophecy, in guidance and help, He is the Holy Spirit. Meaning that He has no place with sin or the devil or uncleanness. And saints, if we are going to be candidates for the things that God is doing in our day and will be doing in the future, we have got to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. What is a Spirit-filled person? What in your mind? We hear the term a lot, a Spirit-filled person. This is a Spirit-filled person. This is a Spirit-filled church. What does that mean to you? Well, commonly what that means is that people speak in tongues. But I don't think that's what God means by a Spirit-filled Christian. I don't think that's what God means by a Spirit-filled Christian or a Spirit-filled church at all. I know that when we are filled with the Spirit, we're going to speak in tongues. I know that. It's just as natural to me, and I'm sure to most everyone in the place, as breathing. We don't understand why it's so important, but we know that it works. We know that when we're filled with the Spirit, we speak in tongues. But that is not, if I may say so very reverently, this is not the city that speaks in tongues. That is a temporary device to lead us to this city. The thing that God is after is not tongues. The thing that God is after is what? Holiness. God is after a holy city. I, John, saw the holy city. Now, how can you and I be holy? Galatians, the 5th chapter, says this: walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is what a Spirit-filled Christian is. A Spirit-filled Christian is someone who, through the Holy Spirit of God, each day is gaining the victory over profanity. Is gaining the victory over fornication and unclean thoughts. Is gaining the victory over fleshly lust at war against the soul. That is what a Spirit-filled Christian is, and that is what a Spirit-filled church is. Because we are heading toward a city which is holy. First and foremost, it is the holy city. The people in there are not people who are unclean, but are saved by grace. The people who are in there are people who are holy, who are holy in their thoughts, holy in their deeds. Praise the Lord. We know from the Scripture that no person will enter that city who is not holy. If you want to be in that city tonight, saint, unsaved person, whatever you may be, you must become holy. That is the holy city. Holiness is big with God. Praise the Lord. You say, what is holiness? Well, it isn't so much in early Pentecost. It used to be more a matter of particulars that people fasten on. dress in some churches and other things, but we know that the holiness that God is after is so that we're filled with the Spirit, so that our lives and our thoughts and our speech are clean. Brother, sister, a Christian is a saint, and a saint is a godly person. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as a Christian who goes around with filth in his life. There's no such thing. If you're here tonight and you want to be a Christian, you pride yourself on being a Christian, we have got to see the fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. Hallelujah. I was reading of some of the early saints. How many have read Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians by J. Gilchrist Lawson? Yeah, you should get that. That was well known a few years ago. Find in any Christian bookstore. Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians. And it tells about Lorenzo Dow and Peter Cartwright, Girolamo Savonarola, and some of the other outstanding men of God. And many of these men, like Wesley, were men of deep sanctification, deep holiness. And I couldn't help but notice one man who lived, I think it was Lorenzo Dow, he had lived such a godly life that he was finally appointed as a member of the staff of a college. Students said it was like having God on the campus. His life was just, it was saintly. He was just filled with the Spirit of God. And this man, when he was drawing his last breath, he sat bolt upright in bed, looked up toward God, and said, "Be sanctified or be damned." Then he fell back. That says the people in the room, the word hit him like a shot from a cannon, and he just fell on the floor. Listen, these are the types of men that God has had. Hallelujah. Men not before Pentecost, men that walked and knew God. And that's what God wants today. That is what God is looking for in our nation, as people who will move this country by the holiness. There's nothing that will move people like a holy person. On the job, in the school, talk is cheap, saints. We can call ourselves a Christian. What people are looking for today is holiness. They're looking for honesty. They're looking for cleanness in speech, in imagination, in talk. That feeling that comes when a person is right, and you know they're not sneaky, you know they're not conning you. You know that that person is solid. Through and through they are pure. People can feel that thing. And they know that will move people. It will. It's nothing like the Holy Spirit. This is the holy city, saints, we're moving to. This is not a place full of people, quote, saved by grace, that are living unclean and gossiping and doing these things. These are people who have been made holy by the power of God. And listen, it can start for you. Sanctification is a real work, saints. Just like being saved. Just like being saved. And it comes when you and I give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit and say, make me as Jesus would have me to be. Because the Bible says as he is, so are we in this world. God wants us to be like Jesus, to act like him, and he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Saints, we don't have to cook it up. It will come by the power of God if we ask God for it and keep in the place so we can hear from God. You want to be holy? Sure you do. We all do. Take time to be holy, the old hymn says. And I, John, saw the holy city. Now this is significant. Everything that is in the Bible, its order and its placement and everything, is highly significant. And when we have the new heaven and the new earth, and God has sent his angel, it was the angel of God. Do you know that spoke to John? It was the angel of God. It appears as the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know in the first verse of Revelation it says, I have sent my angel. John was talking to an angel all the way through here. And it finishes up in the 22nd chapter. It says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. It was an angel that gave this revelation to John. And everything in it is angelic. It's divine. It's right from heaven. And the first thing that John saw was the holy city. That shows the emphasis of the Lord. The new Jerusalem. Now that shows us that God has made it new, that it is the city of Jerusalem, now made so glorious and so new that it's altogether changed by being filled with the Lord. Coming down from God out of heaven. Now, what this shows us here is that our eternal destiny, saint, is the earth. Our eternal destiny is the earth. This city is coming down. This city is going to be on the new earth. It's not going to be in the new heaven. It's going to be on the new earth. Why? because God has created man to be on the earth. God has created man to be on the earth. This city is coming down upon the earth. It's going to be on the earth for eternity. Praise the Lord. Say, where is heaven going to be? On the earth. That's what the book says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's going to do something with the world. He's going to show here that he can rule it in righteousness, and then he's going to do it away and make it all over new. But in the final windup, this is where God is going to dwell, on the new earth, and you and I with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, I don't want to dwell on the earth. I want to dwell in heaven. Is that right? Then why do you holler and scream and everything when you're sick? Afraid you'll die. That's because you want to live on the earth. The rest is kind of, you know, just religious. But when the chips get down, you're not that anxious to leave. Is that right? Well, God has put that in your heart because we're destined to live on the new earth. So it's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, what does this show us? What does this expression show us? Relationship. Relationship. The term bride speaks of relationship. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is no just a purely exterior city. This is something that is very, it has the most intimate relationship to Jesus Christ that is possible. This is relationship. God wants to create relationship. How is your relationship with Jesus? Where is your relationship with Jesus? How far off are you holding him? Huh? Is he your ticket to heaven? Or is he your husband? Is he that to which you want to be related intensely, intimately? How much do you want Jesus? How much? That's the only answer. You know, that's the only answer that makes any sense. To think that God would have us. Praise the Lord. And God wants you. God wants you. A bride adorned for husband. So we found holiness. We found it's new. We find it comes down. It does not resident in heaven. It comes down at the end of the millennium. It comes down here. This is where the great white throne judgment is. When everything is finished, and it comes down because the heavenly aspect of redemption is finished, and it's ready now for what God had in mind all along, is to bring heaven down to earth. That's what God has in mind, is to bring heaven to earth. All right, we do that today. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. Well, this had to be out of the new heaven, didn't it? I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle of God. What does that mean? Be careful. Be careful. The dwelling place of God. Slow down. The dwelling place of God. What is the dwelling place of God? Would you agree with me that it's the holy city? Is it the New Jerusalem? It comes down from God out of heaven. Is it the bride adorned for her husband? Is that right? This is what? The dwelling place of God. The house of God. My Father's house. There are many rooms. This is the house of God. What do you think it is? What does the New Testament tell us is the house of God? Yeah, what house are you building? The church, the body of Christ. But where is it being placed? Among men. What men? What I'm driving at is this. There will be people on the new earth. And there is coming down, and these people on the new earth are called later on in this chapter the saved nations. The nations of the saved. Now look at it. Verse 24. The nation of them which are saved shall do what? Shall walk in the light of it. And I'm just going to give you a very simple idea tonight. It's what Jesus said. Many are called, but few are chosen. And God shows here his tabernacle, which is the church, the body of Christ, coming down in the midst of saved people. So the gospel call goes out all over the earth. And if the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that right? But we know that God is calling today for all who are saved to enter into an intimate relationship with him. And that is what my burden is tonight, that you will not take your salvation lightly as something that if I can just get saved, if I can just make it through so that I don't perish, that's all I want. Brother, sister, there's a goal beyond just being saved. There's a goal to enter into a relationship, to an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can find it all over the Bible, and I'm not going to stress it because too much, because it's right here, just as plain as can be. But you'll find it in the Song of Solomon. There are this many queens and this many so forth and so on. But my fair one, my beloved, is but one. She is the choice one of her that bare her. You'll find it in the 45th Psalm. You'll find it in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where the Lord talks to the church at large. And he, for example, one of the churches he talks to, the church of Sardis, I believe. And he says, now here's the great church, one of the lampstands of God. And he says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. But what about the rest of the church of Sardis? So saints, the Bible teaches us in many, many places that there is a reward for seeking the Lord. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, and he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Revelation 22, behold, I come, and my reward is with me, to give every man exactly as his work shall be. Paul, at the end of his life, long after he was saved, there's no question of his salvation, says, I do not count that I have apprehended, but I press on, press on, press on. To what? That I may attain to the resurrection from among the dead. We hardly know what these things mean, because for so many years we have more or less had the idea that once you become saved, once you accept the Lord, basically that's it. Because the death is the great leveler. And if you're saved and I'm saved, and we both, neither one lives too bad, it doesn't matter whether I do heroics or I just have my ticket and live as I will, and you do heroics in the Lord and discipline yourself and learn to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't matter, because we're all going to be caught up in the rapture. It'll all be basically the same. Brother, sister, listen. The Bible does not teach that. That is not true. The Bible teaches reward from start to finish. 1 Corinthians 15 says the sun, the moon, the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection from the dead. What we do now determines our resurrection. Really, saints, is a direct relationship between how you are receiving the Lord, whether you are walking and learning the holy ways of Christ, whether you are pressing near to Him. Oh, there's so much there to be gained. That's why Paul said, I'm in a race. A race for what? To be saved? Nonsense. There's no race to being saved. How do you get saved? Who knows how to get saved? I came to the Lord when I was about 19. I was a rank heathen. I had been raised in a heathen home. I knew nothing. I knew nothing whatsoever of the gospel. All I knew was Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And believe me, that was it. And in our home, they had no religious significance whatsoever. None. Ignorant. Total heathen. I thought if you were American, you were a Christian. Everybody else was a heathen. If anybody asked you about the Christian, I was like, certainly, what do you think I am, a heathen? I was a heathen of the heathens, I'll tell you. And when I heard the gospel, I had to pray for faith to believe there was a God. I didn't even believe there was a God. I didn't even believe there was a God, but I wanted to believe there was a God. And so I said to God, if there is a God, that's the way I prayed. I said, God, if there is a God, give me faith to believe. I prayed that one night in a tent, a six base depot in Hawaii. On Oahu, on the island of Oahu. The six base depot in a tent. About 1944, I guess it was. If there be a God, give me faith. One night. I woke up the next morning, and I had faith to believe there was a God. Don't ask me how, I don't know. But the God who, if there is a God, heard my prayer. And He gave me faith. And I knew I could believe. You know when you can believe. I mean, you believe, you don't. And I knew when I didn't, and I knew when I did. And just like that, I went to a Quonset hut that night, the following night, where some Christian boys were meeting in prayer, and on the way out, one of them tripped me. And that was a ruse on his part. He wanted to talk to me. He said, have you ever accepted the Lord? I said, well, I don't know. I think I have. And so he just said, well, just receive Jesus Christ in your heart and confess Him as your personal Savior. So I said, well, I received Jesus Christ and I confess Him as my personal Savior. And I'm here to tell you I was born again. I remember when I was born again. I walked outside that Quonset hut. The stars were brighter. The whole night was different. Everything was different. I was just singing inside. I was born again. Hallelujah! About a week later, I was completely confused. All down. I had been in the battle for a week, and I was wondering if I was going to make it. And I said, God, speak to me. I looked under my finger, and it was in Proverbs. And it says, my son, keep my commandments, bind them as a chain around you. I tell you, I could feel my flesh crawling when I said that. Because God was speaking. Well, praise the Lord. It's just like that. So where does the race come in? What? That's the way Paul was saved, too. God came and interrupted Paul while he was trying to go about his business and saved him in spite of himself. Just like that. What's the race? Why does Paul keep saying, I'm here to win? I bruise my body and I beat it under. I'm here to win this race. What's he trying to win? To be saved? There are rewards. You can coast along in your Christian life and be saved and hold on to it by the skin of your teeth and never get anywhere with the Lord. And on your deathbed, and you may die young, you don't know. None of us have a guarantee. The two people I know of, the Lord spoke to them and said, you're never too young to die. There's no age on dying. You don't automatically die when you're 75. The Russians have a proverb, fruit is not picked when it's old, it's picked when it's ripe. And when God sees that you're ripe, He'll pick you. But what your state is from then on depends on how you ran the race. Praise the Lord. and you can be saved and just saved by the skin of your teeth and not participate in any of the great and glorious things of the kingdom, and you're going to be disappointed because you'll say, well, look at these things that could have been mine, and I wasted my life. They're rewards. And you can see it here. There's the nations of them which are saved, but there is a holy city. It's married to Jesus. It's something that God has worked over and perfected and wrought over, and it reigns in the earth for eternity. Let's see some of the things it says about it. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God. That's what you're being made. Do you know why you're being made a tabernacle of God? Do you know why? Who knows in here why you're being made a tabernacle of God? Do you know why God is making you a tabernacle? Because He wants to dwell among men. That's why. You say, well, God can dwell among men anytime He wants to. Can He? Supposing God were to come today to Poway, how would He dwell among men? How would He reach the people in Poway all day? What would He do? Go up and down the street, knock on the door and say, hi, I'm God? How could He relate to them? What would He do? Suppose He were to come down and shake Poway like He did Sinai and say, don't let any of the animals near me. Keep the people back. No, whatever you do, keep them back. Keep them all back, but I don't want them around here. And they're in the smoke comes up and everything like Mount St. Helena. This is good. This is God dwelling among people. Supposing He comes as a gentle rabbi. And He says, I am He. What then? Does that work? How about where you work? How could God relate to those people? What could He do? Could He walk in the door? Suppose He walked in the door and said, I'm God. Well, He couldn't walk in flanked by His holy angels or anything, because that'd knock everybody out. But suppose He just came in as a person in an ordinary suit and said, hi, I'm God, pleased to meet you. What would the people do? They call for the man in the white coat. God can't relate to people. Listen, He can't even relate to the church. How's He doing with you? Can He get through? Can you hear Him? It's not easy to dwell with God because He's got His own way of doing things. I was looking the other day at Grizzly Adams. Yeah, that's from one show on TV that there's no swearing. No, at least not in the one I watched, one episode I watched. I saw one episode and I said, Daudrey, I found a TV program that a person can watch. No swearing on the one I saw. I will not stand swearing on the TV. I turn on, I can't stand it. I don't swear myself, and I'm not going to listen to anybody swearing at me from the boob tube. And I looked and I pondered and I thought, the beauty of that country. And I watched the tremendous humanity that's portrayed by Grizzly Adams and his Indian friend. And if that isn't Eden, I never saw one. There's just one thing missing. God. God. It's a paradise without God. How does God dwell among men? Or maybe you should just make it like Grizzly Adams, so that it's all mountains and trees and birds and everything, and we can just all go about our business being wonderful people. And God can sit up there by Himself and look down and wish we cared about Him. See? That's what it's all about. The only way you could get to Grizzly Adams and his Indian friend and his bear and the rest of them is you'd have to have someone like you and me who could go among them and be the presence of God among them. in a way that they could understand and accept. That's what the holy city is. It's people who have been made the eternal dwelling place of God. Would you like to be in the tabernacle of God?
Hallelujah.
Or would you rather be a member of the nations of the saved? You know, it's not so bad. Play shuffleboard all day. I don't know what they do. They have kings, so they've got rule over them. So the kings of the earth. I don't know. This book, if you have never read it, by all means read it. I forgot the title. What's the title? No. What's Dr. Ritchie's book? What's the name of it? Return from Tomorrow. Return. How many have read Return from Tomorrow? Well, Dr. Ritchie died. He was dead 9 minutes with double lobar pneumonia. And Christ appeared to him and led him through many things. He saw people who were attached to the earth because the kinds of sins they had committed before they died kept them bound to the earth. He saw others who were on other spiritual plateaus who were working out their frustrations and their rage in the spiritual realm. And then he showed Dr. Ritchie what must have been this area in here, in which men were studying, scientists in a great laboratory, in a great academy of an institution, he said, with knowledge from all over the universe, books, the central ideas from all over the universe. And here these people were working in this academic, quiet atmosphere of inquiry. And Dr. Ritchie got the idea, says, you know, maybe even during the millennium, people will be studying and learning and studying and learning. But you know what all learning leads to? Christ. Christ. And even at that level, they hadn't found him. They were still learning about him. It's no small thing to become related to Jesus. There's not many people, not even Christians, who enter into that kind of a relationship with Jesus. Where all quests cease, and he becomes absolutely central. Your security, your pleasure, your achievement. He's enough. There's no more. He becomes the quest himself. There's not many that seem to catch that, but everyone could. But God wants to save the nations, but he also wants to have among the nations, he wants to have some whom he can marry. And the Lord is very strict about that. He's not careless about who he marries. Not careless at all. You can't scorn the Lord. You can't spurn his love. You can't play games with him. He looks for total sincerity. Total. Otherwise you end up in the ranks of the hooded scholar pursuing truth. But truth is Jesus Christ. And you can have him. But it's a two-way street. He gives all to you, and you give all to him. Or you hold back from him, and he holds back from you. And you spurn him, and he will spurn you. He will deal that way. I know that from the Bible and from Revelation, if you will. He is looking for people who will match the intensity of his love with a perfect love. You say, oh boy, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Sure you are. Why look for truth when you can have Jesus? Why spend your life on some quest when you can have the answer right away? It's Jesus. There's nothing beyond that. That's the end of the whole thing. Fortunately, to find that. And notice what it says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. That's what God wants. He wants to love people. But he's going to have to do it through you. And it begins today. It begins today. Because all that's true here is true today in miniature. But in essence, it's true. And they shall be his people. God wants the peoples of the earth. God wants the peoples of the earth. He's not about to take his church out and let the nations of the earth go to hell. God is not going to do that. It's not scriptural. That's something we've made up in our ignorance of the word. God has in mind to save the nations of the earth, and he's going to do it too. And that's why Jesus said in John 17, I and them and thou me, that they may be made one. See, once we became be made one, in John 17 and 21, it says, I and them and thou and me, that they may be made one in us. That's the holy city. Then the world will believe. The world will believe. And believing, they will be saved. You're going to be a blessing to mankind. You're not going to take this earth and leave mankind to the devil. Don't you ever think so. I know a lot of blood's going to be let in the near future. I know that because God's coming through to prune his work. He's not through yet. But he has in mind to save China and Russia. Don't ever forget that. There are precious, precious people in those countries. And God is going to save them by the scad. Where's that in the Bible? Isaiah 60. Then shall thou see, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, and the multitude of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Come unto who? Unto the New Jerusalem. Come unto the people of God. And it says, then thou shalt fear, and thine heart shall be enlarged, because the forces of the Gentiles shall be converted unto thee. Isaiah 60. And it's in many places. Isaiah chapter 61. The nations will look at the feet of the Lord. That's the seed whom the Lord hath blessed. And men shall call you the ministers of our God. For your shame you shall have double. Hallelujah. Because God said, the earth brings forth the things that are sown in it, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before the nations of the earth. Last verse in Isaiah 61. Psalms is full of it. We're getting ready to reveal God to mankind. That's why you're being trained. That's why God is dealing with you night and day. Or you can read through and you can see that the nation of the saved shall walk in the light of this city. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Whose eyes? Not your eyes. The eyes of the peoples of the earth. Through you, God shall comfort them. Through you. You'll be called a restorer of paths and dwellings. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Not all new things, all things new things. We're going to be made new in God. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh. Shall inherit all things. What do you think the inheritance is? People. 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 That's the only inheritance worth having. People. God is going to give us people. The nations of the earth. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen. For your inheritance. We may spend a long time learning that, but saints, it's a pretty dull inheritance to inherit a marvelous mahogany mansion. That's all right. But when Christ grows in you, it changes from mansions to people. God's inheritance is people. And when God dwells in us, we get that love. God's love is in Christ. Christ's love is in us. Continue ye in my love. And that love, saints, flows out to other people. So, we're all saved here tonight, I assume. I trust so. If you're not, you can be in a moment. Just let the Lord have his way. Quit fighting. God will save you. But there's something beyond salvation. And it is to enter in to God in a wonderful love relationship with him, to where he becomes all in all to you, dwells in you, and you in him. And whosoever will, the waters are there, is to whosoever will, you can have as much of God as you want. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened up in salvation. You have opened up the possibility of becoming a part of the eternal temple of God to whosoever will. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, as we come to this, the end of the Easter of 1980, Lord, we don't know where we'll be in the Easter of 1981. But Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that this year coming up and even the following week, Lord, or whatever, you know the future, that as saved people, we will not be content to just live on the level of basic salvation with no thought for Jesus and no thought for God's plan, but just if we can save ourselves from hell and go no further. There's enough people doing that. Lord, grant that each one of us in this room will have such a burning desire to enter into the plans and purposes of God, that God may dwell in us and walk in us and make his eternal abode in us. O God, our souls tonight are drawn to thee as the streams flow down the mountain toward the ocean. Our souls rush to find rest in thee, O God. You have called us to enter into union with yourself. Hallelujah. And Lord, we would not hold this world. We come to you that we may be your son, your daughter, and you may be our father, and we may know you. Hallelujah. And wonderful closeness and relationship. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Is there anyone here tonight that has never known Jesus, has never accepted Jesus as your Savior? You'd like to tonight. You'd like to turn from this world, receive Christ, gain the forgiveness of your sins, and walk out of this church loose in Jesus' name. Slip your hand up. Is there anyone like that here? Slip your hand up. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's so wonderful. If I was 19 and I had ever said no to God at that time, oh, what I would have missed. Jesus, don't think of it. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you are a Christian, but you are not seeking the Lord, and you'd like to start seeking the Lord so that you can partake of some of the rewards that come to those who seek the Lord and become an overcomer. There's someone like that here tonight. I'll ask you, if you would, to go up to the front and let us pray with you tonight. Is there anyone like that here tonight? That you are a Christian, but you have never really sought the Lord. Your life is careless, and you're not seeking Jesus in the terms that we presented tonight. And you'd like us to pray with you tonight? Why don't you come up to the front and let us pray with you tonight? This is the beginning of an overcoming experience for you. Is there anyone like that here tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't hold back. We don't know. The future is so uncertain today. I feel in my spirit that I have this burden to preach this tonight. When I do, usually it's on target. There's probably some here tonight that are wishing they could serve the Lord like they're supposed to. If that's you, make a break and come on up here and let us pray with you. Just us here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be embarrassed. Let us pray with you. Anyone like that here? We'll lay hands on you and pray with you, and this will be the first day of the rest of your life, and you will be a Christian. I know there's people here like that. I'm not making it all that easy for you. God bless you, sister. Because I want you to stand. I want you to be able to serve God, and you'll have to do it at some point in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are there any others? Don't sit there. I tell you, this is where it is. This is what life is all about. And this is your chance. Are there any others? Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Is this it? Or are there any others? Hallelujah. He's sealing out of the highest. God is speaking to you. And you are not living for God. Other things are central in your life. You're not pressing on, as Paul said. You're not single-minded, but you're divided. Will you come up and stand with these? Will give us a chance to pray with you tonight? I tell you, God will do something for you. He'll do something for you if you make a start. Are there any of us? Are there any of us? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Saints, pray. Some of you are overcomers. You know how hard it was for you when you started. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Audrey to come up now and help me pray. Sonny, come up and help me pray. Ron, Gloria, come up. Man, Andy and Judah, some of the others that like to come up. Neil, Diana, gather around. Others, elders of the church, come up. We'll gather around and pray. Hallelujah. Lay hands on these folks right now. There's a lot of members of the council, elders of the church, come up and gather around. Lord, maybe if you could just break through there and come around to the front. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. I want to be sure that on each one of these that came up, someone's got hands. Hallelujah. Now let's all agree in prayer. We're going to pray tonight that God will make this the first day of the rest of their life, the day when they are going to just give it all to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe this group that's up with us, there's quite a group here that are praying. Maybe all of us here in the church could just make this our prayer and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm so glad that you saved me. I'm so glad for your precious blood. I'm so thankful that you're going to receive me into heaven. And now, dear Lord, I have decided to become your disciple, to follow after you, to turn aside from the things of this world, to let go of the idols that you are calling for, to lay my life at the Master's feet, to be a broken vessel of perfume upon Jesus, to give him all that I am, all that I have, all that I hope to be, all that I hope to achieve. I ask you, dear Jesus, to be central in my security, in my pleasures, and in my achievement. Be thou the undisputed Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let's pray for these dear ones. Everyone pray. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we come against everything that would in any way hinder us. Every attraction, everything that would in any way bleed for our sister's attention. We pray that Jesus, hallelujah, will take the first place in our life. Hallelujah. That our eyes will be focused upon you. Focused every note. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, touch her by your nail-scarred hands and roar hard after you, Lord, that you will become the love of her life, that she will love you, Jesus, more than life itself.
that she will love the Lord more than all kingdoms this world. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your lovely name. I thank you for the touch that I feel on her life right now, Lord. I thank you for the touch that I feel on her life right now, Lord. Hallelujah. I know that sacrifice is accepted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray for my sister. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for the glow on her countenance, Lord. I know that you love your Lord. I know that you love your Lord, and our heart is leaping up, Lord. To be under her, Lord, is one that skips upon the mountains twice. Hallelujah. Come to her and visit her, Lord, and make yourself known to her, Lord. Hallelujah. Be real to her, Jesus. Be under her, not a God afar off, but a God at hand. Hallelujah. Be under her the present, Lord. Hallelujah. The one who is with her. Hallelujah. That she may know the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Be first in her life. Be first in her relationship with people, Lord. Hallelujah. Give her that peace, that security that she wants, Lord. That awareness of Jesus. That knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Be thou the bright and the morning star rising within her life. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Come to her, Lord. Hallelujah. Make yourself known to her in a living new way, Lord. Hallelujah. So that she may know you as a personal Lord. Hallelujah. The personal master. Hallelujah. 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 You're so real, Jesus. You're risen from the dead. You're risen in us. Hallelujah. You're with us and in us, man of Galilee. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let the light of thy countenance arise upon us, Lord. Let the light of thy countenance arise upon us. Give her, Lord, the spirit of praise for the garment of heaven. Lord, answer the need of her heart. Clear up all perplexities. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray that thou wilt put hope in her. Thou art the God of hope. Put hope in her, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art the God of hope. The God of hope, all hope, comfort her, Lord, in a wonderful way. Hallelujah. Lord, as she turns her undivided attention to the quest for Jesus. Hallelujah. Be under her the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Be under her the real Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Her Lord, her Savior, her Jesus. Her bridegroom, hallelujah. Lord, she has no problems when she has you. You are the solution to every problem. Hallelujah, they flee away from before your presence like the mist before the morning sun. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Be thou her hope, Lord, of every problem solved, every burden lifted, every yoke broken, every question answered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cause her, Lord, to leap with hind feet. Hallelujah. To run through a troop and leap over a wall. Oh, be real to her, Jesus. Be real to her, Jesus. Hallelujah. That she will be a joyful servant of Jesus. A joy, the joy of the Lord be our strength. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, thou art merciful. Thou art merciful. Lay thy nailed scar hands on our sister's life, Lord, that she may feel within her the flow of grace and the flow of eternal resurrection life from Jesus, the Son of the Lord. The goodness, Lord, meet her in a new and living way. Hallelujah. In a new and living way. Every yoke will be broken. Every yoke will be broken. Hallelujah, Lord. You make, you turn the water into wine. Do that in this life, Lord. Do that in this life, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And surely, Lord, you've kept the good wine until now. Hallelujah, bless her in a tremendous way. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we pray. Hallelujah, that there will be a recognition. Hallelujah, of thy lordship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come unto Pat, I say. Come unto her right now, Father.
in the name of Jesus, and make yourself real there. Hallelujah, so that everything else grows strange and dim in the light of thy glory and grace. Lord, as she turns her decision towards you, meet her, Lord. Be her sufficiency. Be the Lord that provides for that which her heart is seeking. Hallelujah. That she will have no other need but you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be her sufficiency, Lord, that she will have no other need but you. You be her peace. You be her consolation. You be all that she needs. Hallelujah. 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 Lift up the light of thy countenance upon her, Lord, and give her peace. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Thou art the one that heareth. Hallelujah, thou art the one, Lord, that the waters of living waters spring up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, let the waters spring up. Hallelujah, just praise the Lord. Amen, whether you feel like it or not, just praise him. Let the waters flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, let the waters of praise flow. Oh, hallelujah, I praise thy name. Wonderful is thy name, O Lord. Hallelujah, 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 I praise thy name. I praise thy name. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let the water flow, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord in some fashion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord. You are our Lord. We worship you. We give you honor as servant of our being, Lord. We give you honor as servant of our life. Hallelujah. We give you honor as servant of all the earth. Everything that we are, God will give to the earth. God will be faithful, Lord. God will be faithful, Lord. Everything that we are, Lord, we give to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Victory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is the Lord.
He's my Lord. Gun pray in just a minute, but before he does, those that would like to stay at the altar and pray, please do so, and then just pray as long as you want to. Others that want to gather at the back or whatever outside, I'm going to ask. It's been a good Easter day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we sense his presence is so real. So real. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, do you praise him, saints? He's given us such a wonderful day in his presence. Hallelujah. So precious. So precious. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We do. We do. We do. We do. I'm going to ask Bob Eaglin to ask God's blessing. It would be wonderful if we could kind of join hands and just ask God's blessing to help us during this week to come to keep the presence of the risen Lord in our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. Here we are. We'll work this out. So, praise the Lord. Wonderful.
Lord God Almighty, how gracious you are to keep us in the house of the Lord. How you truly blessed us this day, Lord. Through the words and the dedication of your true service right here, Lord. Lord, thank you for the realness of your presence. Thank you for the fact that we know and understand that you are.
Yes.
That you can today was a miracle in our lives.
Yes.
That you are all in all.
Yes.
And that all we are worth is you. The only thing that is real, worth keeping, is you. Lord, take us completely.
Yes.
Everything that we desire, take it, Lord.
Yes.
And make you, Lord, the center of our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you for this day, Lord. May it just carry on to the week. Lord, continue with me in the heart of us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Of course you can't do otherwise.